Welcome to Water and Air, the go-to legal podcast for senior legal professionals looking to take themselves and their teams to the next level by Parul Patel and powered by Fuel & Move. For more information on how Fuel & Move can help set up your legal team for a better version of success, click the link in the show notes below. Welcome to this episode of Water and Air. My name is Parul Patel, and I help lawyers do law better, whether that's through this podcast, which focuses on the ordinary that unlocks extraordinary, or improving performance capabilities through Fuel & Move solutions. Today, we'll be grilling someone who seems to be actually living the dream, doing everything he really wants within the same time and pressure constraints we all have. He is a graduate of forensic science and neuroscience, a qualified barrister, passionate podcaster, and law tech curation expert, someone who's made side hustling as a lawyer an art form. Based in Chicago, welcome to Water and Air, Abhijit Saraswat.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and looking forward to this grilling.
You're on the other side of the microphone this time because you're usually interviewing others.
That's right. Yeah. It feels a little bit odd, but I'll let you lead with the questions rather than me ask lots of questions.
So with all your experiences, Ab, there's so much we could talk about, but today we decided to explore how to turn into reality a lifestyle and professional portfolio that fits you. But I mean, like, where do we begin? How about at the beginning? Did you always know you wanted a portfolio professional lifestyle?
No, I don't think so. And it's an interesting, I won't go into my whole life story or anything like that, but I think it's interesting. As I learned about different areas, it was easy for me to just get drawn into them. And then it becomes a challenge on how do you manage all of these different streams of interest and not have them impact what you're doing as, you know, your primary focus at that time, but you don't want to compress them either. You don't want, you know, this interest you have in whatever it might be, whether it was podcasting for me or learning about photography or web or anything else like that, to just fade away and then have regrets later. So it's about how do you figure out a way where you can actually explore all of these interests and then have them benefit whatever your primary focus is and stack each of them on top of the other and really compound the learning that you have and grow both as a legal professional, a technologist, or anything else that the interest might be.
So how did you do stacking? I mean, I really like that term, the stacked learning term, because it allows you, opens up the doors to explore all your interests. But I mean, it's a nice term, but how did you actually do it?
I wish I had a prescribed formula on how to do it, but I kind of stumbled into it. Ultimately, it's about going back to first principles about anything that you're looking to learn, right? So let's say, for the sake of argument, that you are a lawyer or attorney to all of your US listeners, and your focus is TMT, right? Technology, media, telecommunications. And maybe as the world is exploding about Web3, you have an interest in there. Well, you could actually go and start learning about it, start interviewing people, and start posting about that to become an expert, which helps you to not only reach out to people that you may not otherwise connect with, it also helps your existing client base learn a bit more, and more maybe a condensed, summarized version of hours of research that you might put into something, but it improves your credibility in the market. You are really looking to teach people who are maybe one or two steps behind where you are. You don't have to be the bleeding edge expert in anything. I'm definitely not a bleeding edge expert in legal technology or, you know, improving the practice of law. But because I've spoken to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people by now, I know a little bit more than someone who's just getting started today. So for me, it's about making that initial steps more approachable. And there's a number of ways you can do that. So I would say as a starting point, maybe think about what is it that you're interested in today? And then how can that benefit, the underlying skill of that benefit, what you do for a living, for lack of a better word? And then you design experiments that help you to minimize risk and allow you to devote not every amount of free time you have into this project.
I was going to ask you, how do you balance so many activities? But from what you've just described, you're not actually doing any kind of balancing exercise at all. All you're doing is leveraging complementary activities for not only your own for your own interest, so your own benefit, but also for the benefit of your clients or the people that you serve. So there's actually no competition then, is there?
Exactly. So, I mean, I'll give you a practical example. So I set about at the beginning of November 2021 that I wanted to learn how to write in a more concise, precise way, right? Something that you learn as a lawyer, but as you start doing other things, you usually, well, at the bar, they at least talk about it a lot more. But over time, it's a skill that you need to practice and you need to improve on continuously. So I committed just to myself that I'm going to post on LinkedIn every single weekday. And as a result of that, it sounds daunting, it is, but as a result of that, it sort of sets in momentum the idea that I need to work on curating interesting items that would be useful for my network, right? And that means I can actually be actively looking out for things. But as a result of that, not only am I forcing myself to write something every day, and usually it's writing in batches. So you figure out these little hacks really how to make it better, because when you have your creative juices going, rather than writing that one post, I will write 2 weeks worth of posts and I will just schedule them. So I don't have to stress about things, but every single day, I'm providing additional value to my network and I'm having more conversations with my clients, with prospective clients, and generally the market. Again, sometimes it's just highlighting some of the work that you've done, Parul, right? I think I highlighted one of the conversations you and I had before, and that really helps. And that also allows me to then take that skill of writing a better copy into my professional day-to-day life, because that means I know how to write much shorter but meaningful emails. Yeah. So that's how you can add value to other things, right? So it's able to find that connection. And honestly, being able to write better copy is going to help you regardless of what you're doing in your life.
Absolutely. I was just having a conversation yesterday, actually, with a friend of mine who's a professor at one of the business schools, the business and law school in Barcelona, about exactly this, the art and skill of copywriting and how it can help, you know, multiple professions, but especially our profession, the legal profession. We're playing with words all the time. And so extremely powerful, especially when we're working in this crazy fast paced environment, it becomes even more important to put your client's time and value your client's time by giving them less to read, but more meaningful stuff to read.
Exactly.
You spoke about stress just now. Mm. And one of the things is, like, you know, the stack learning. And when I was reading, just a description of the things that you've done to get here and some of the things that you're managing now, do you ever fear that you might get burnout or chronic exhaustion, or we drift into these spaces? It's not something that we can get into by design. We drift into them because we take on so much. So how do you manage that? Are you worried about it or...
I do actually constantly worry about it. I've been burnt out before. It's not nice. It's not pleasant. And I certainly don't want to get there again. But part of it is just being aware. I'm assuming that many of your listeners are probably workaholics as well. And so it's easy to get drawn into a lot of different ways and not to have any boundaries. Just say yes to everything. It's tough. And especially if you're a junior lawyer, honestly, it's tougher because you don't want to miss out on opportunities. And even if you're not a lawyer, whatever you do, you never want to miss out on opportunities. But for me, the way I manage that is I'm very clear with myself I have a wonderful wife who keeps me honest to this, that if I'm going to shut off, I will shut off at that point. And shutting off for me may mean something completely different to other people. Whatever it is that you need to do to relax, do it. Make time for it. I live by my calendar and I will block times in my calendar that will say, you know, exercise, or that will just say reading or whatever, just as a reminder to myself and also as a indicator to my team and those that have access to my calendar that I'm not available at that time. That helps, but really what you have to do is just get into a habit of putting your phone away and just not looking at it when someone does message you at that time, because it will seem urgent. And of course, you have to make exceptions, but it's tough. It is. And it's a difficult thing to balance.
Panic in some of our listeners.
Yeah. For sure. And the other thing I'll say is if you're doing a lot of different things, very different things, my biggest piece of advice that I learned that made a massive impact to me is do short sprints, which means that you're really testing the water. So the LinkedIn example I gave, I set to myself that I'm only going to do this until the end of the year. Right? If I enjoy it, I can continue doing it. That's 2 months, still a lot, but it's 2 months. When I first started a podcast, I committed to doing just 10 episodes. You want there to be enough that you actually learn something meaningful and you can evaluate whether this is something that's of interest or if it was just a phase or something fleeting. And that means that you can gracefully back out of it and there's no harm, no foul. And I guarantee you in those 10 episodes or the 2 months or whatever period you set, you will likely learn a lot more because it's focus, it's deliberate effort that you're putting in at that stage.
Yeah, that's really great advice. The other thing that you were talking about was, you know, as we learn to put us first, because, you know, we can't really help anyone else if we're in a terrible condition ourselves. But when you've got lots of different things going on, or if you've got lots of interest, you know, if your bucket list, your professional bucket list is overflowing, how do you actually decide? Because I guess one of the most important things is to have clarity on what you're going to say yes to and what you're going to say no to. We do keep revisiting this theme of being clear about yes and no and not being afraid to use them in that way. But what do you do? Because I'm sure you've got an incredible professional bucket list yourself.
I do. Yeah, you should see the list of items I want to explore. It's never ending and it gets continually added to. So my suggestion would be to, and this sounds really cheesy, and so I'll apologize in advance for that, but you got to just figure out what's going to make you happy, what's going to excite you. And the way to do that for me is if I think about, let's say, a topic. So right now I'm learning a lot more about Web3. And if I think about that as a topic, if I had a weekend to do nothing but focus on that topic, will I feel excited? Will I feel overwhelmed? Will I feel like, I don't really care for this? And really, only if the answer is, what a weekend that will be, if that's the answer you're getting about that, then do it. If you're getting anything other than that answer, then it should not be something that you're focusing on right now. So that's probably the way to evaluate that for me. And, you know, it's a F yes or F no kind of situation to anything. And it has to be quite binary. And that doesn't mean that you say no to it forever. It just lives in your bucket list as maybe someday. And I certainly have lots and lots of those items too. And I revisit that every 3 months, 6 months. What is on here that's maybe more pertinent now than it was 6 months ago?
Sounds like how to Marie Kondo your profession.
I think that's a good way of putting it. I love it.
Does it spark joy for you this weekend?
Exactly. And actually, the weekend projects are really important because often I will just allocate, you know, one day. So on a weekend, I have one day, which is no work day for me whatsoever. That's absolutely like full on family. There's nothing that's going to be more important than just spending Saturday. So, and then the other day is, okay, I'm going to dedicate 4 hours, you know, let's see what I can do. And those 4 hours are extremely focused and deliberate and there's no distractions. There's nothing else. It's, I'm only learning about this topic because again, I don't want to spend weeks and weeks learning about something if I can get that done in 4 hours of really intense work. And at that point, I know what to do afterwards, right? If I need to devote more time to it, great, we'll figure that out. If not, then, you know, I am a amateur in that topic.
Well, you know what the thing is, what you're also saying in between the lines is that you are really led by energy, things that are going to add to your energy or release energy and you not deplete your energy. Using that methodology really allows you to be able to get the stacked learning, get the things out of your professional bucket list in the right order. And when the right order is the order in which your energy, your positive energy is being released. And then you can share that with your audiences and your world. It's really amazing because you can get a lot done without getting exhausted then.
I could not agree with you more. I think the energy point is so, so important. It's, you know, I'm an extremely high energy person and it's so important that I don't have anything that, you know, drains me. There's things that we can't control, but as much as I can control it, I'm protective of it. I read something which was such a great idea. I can't take credit for it, but I don't know who to credit either. But you can do a review of your last week or last month's calendar, especially if you have recurring events. Mm-hmm. And someone went through and essentially color-coded in Outlook or whatever you want to use to say things that they felt they left that meeting really energetic with or drained after. And then you have a look at the last, you know, the last week, the last month, and you can very easily identify just by color, well, what kind of day is this, right? Is this going to be a super high energy day? Or do I need to be prepared to be mentally drained at the end? And just because something is low energy doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means maybe you spend a lot of time thinking, doing critical thinking work. That's exhausting. But at least you have a better idea of what works for you and what may be things that you try and add more into your schedule or subtract from your schedule.
It's such a powerful technique, that self-reflection and just taking a little bit of time. And it doesn't have to be much, right? So you can, you know, it literally can be like a 5-minute glance at the end of the week to see where the energy generators were and where the energy depleters were, so that you can prepare yourself for the next week better, or how you do your agenda. And as you say, finding ways that work for you, because just because something works for me or it works for you, app, doesn't mean it's going to be the same for anyone else. We're all unique, and what excites us and what releases our energy is going to be equally unique. So that reflection point is, I think it's perhaps one of the most undervalued tools that we have available to us. It's free. It's investment free. There's no budget required to unlock it, and nobody can take it away from us. Like, it's completely within our control. You know how athletes say, control the controllables. This is one of those tools. Yeah. Completely under your control, right?
Yeah. And you know, the other benefit of that is, if you look at being an attorney, being a legal professional, there's so many small nuances to your role that you just do unconsciously, that over time you just learn to do, whether it's negotiations, drafting, review, business development work, all of the other things. I mean, that's only 5. In a day, you're probably doing hundreds of different things, and you need to figure out what you are both good at and what you enjoy. And they may not be the same things, because I'm sure everyone would much rather focus on just client work and don't want to ever do time entry and things like that. But that's a necessary part of your work. So it's good to know whether that's actually something maybe that you find a cathartic experience. I doubt it, but who knows? Maybe you are one of those individuals. So it helps you just understand a bit more, and then you can allocate resources, because it may be that you can try and figure out, this is maybe the area of law or practice I want to go into, because guess what? There's a lot more negotiations that need to happen, and I love that. Or there's a lot less client interaction, because maybe I don't like talking to clients all the time, right? So yeah, that just gives you an extra bit of insight into just how you go. Because, you know, most lawyers, you go to law school, you start practicing, and then you're not really thinking about all of the bits and bobs that make up your work, right? Yeah. You're just doing it, and the partner gives you a project, you're working on it, you put your hand up to the next thing whenever you're free. And before you know it, you know, maybe you're on a partnership track, but you don't know what you're actually good at. And maybe you need to focus on becoming a leader or a manager, but you don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. It is, you're so right. The profession is such a reactive profession. You know, we're conditioned to behave in that way, but that doesn't mean we have to behave in that way. We can easily make the switch from being reactive to being responsive and even proactive about our own careers. You know, as you manage so many, you juggle so many different activities and interests, and I know you've got an interest in legal tech, but do you harness the power of technology to support your own priorities and aspirations?
Absolutely. I would very easily classify myself as an early adopter, as well as the person who has a revolving stack of technologies I'm looking at, both for my sort of personal development and just tracking all of the things, but also, you know, there's my professional role, my day-to-day job and working for a legal software company, but it's also the, you know, the media company that I run, which has a podcast, which has a newsletter. And I'm also looking for what else is out there that's maybe in a adjacent vertical that may be possible to bring in or add value into the work that lawyers do. How can we make that work a little bit seamless and easy? So yeah, I use a number of different tools to do that. A lot of them are honestly just project management tools and note-taking tools. So I can keep on top of thoughts, ideas, conversations, and interesting people I've come across. And then there are more sort of specialized tools that I tend to use for work as well.
Ab, you know, you've really seemed to have pulled together the best of humanity and technology to bring out the best in yourself and also help your clients win by leveraging the right technology for their needs, capabilities, and strategic priorities. So, you know, just thinking about our listeners today, who could be from, you know, lawyers from all spectrum of the profession, What ordinary actions can you recommend or advise them to take away to unlock some of the extraordinary outcomes just by maybe better aligning human capability and technology? I don't know. Could you give us a couple of tips maybe at an individual level for their teams or at an organizational level?
I'll share maybe three things. I'm going to just throw that number out there. I'll think of them as we go through.
Yeah.
The first one is going to be open-minded and be prepared to just at least explore something. And that, I mean, you know, you may come across ideas, some of which may seem really obvious. They may just seem common sense, but just because it's common sense, it doesn't make it common practice. So whenever you read something that you feel like is common sense, question yourself and say, okay, this is common sense to me, but am I actually doing this? Am I putting this into practice? That's more of a question and a reflection piece. Two would be, you know, to the previous point we were just chatting about, leverage technology. I think there is so much more you can accomplish as a combination of human plus machine. This isn't about, you know, how can you be replaced by robots or any sort of technology, but how can you utilize technology to do the things that you maybe don't enjoy? And it could be, you know, if you're drafting or if you're doing any sort of work, how can you get that first bits of words on a piece of paper or a blank screen, so you're not starting from scratch? Or it could just be, you know, something that helps you keep up to date with your clients. And the third point would be network and reach out. And I think this is more specifically for the legal profession, but I suspect also for other professional services. There is so much you can learn from adjacent verticals or sectors that we often just disregard because we feel that law is very special and unique. It is, but it's not so unique that you can't transplant an idea that's been proven elsewhere. And that just goes to figuring out and, you know, just utilizing and leveraging learnings that someone else has already had. They've already made the mistakes for you, so you get to benefit from it. So look at it from that perspective. And it doesn't have to be rocket science. Not every idea has to be the world-changing idea. It's about making incremental improvements every single day that compound over time. So hopefully those three things help a little bit.
They're great. And you know the wonderful thing about those three little tips, but with huge impacts, if you can just put them into practice. And again, what we like is that they're zero budget ideas.
Yeah.
Which is always a bonus, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ab. And there you have it, listeners. Some power tips from Ab today on some simple ways to unlock extraordinary. And if any of our listeners is looking for any kind of support or guidance on curating the right law tech solutions for themselves, for their team or department or organization, and want to consult directly with you, where can they find you? How do they contact you?
Yeah, the easiest way is to go to fringelegal.com. That's F-R-I-N-G-E legal.com. And I write a bi-weekly newsletter there that goes out to about 800 plus people. You can simply reply to that at any point or contact me through the website. I'll be more than happy to be in touch. If you want a low touch way, find me on LinkedIn. As I said, I'm writing every single day. We'll see if that continues into 2022, but I would love to say hello to any of your listeners there.
Fantastic. Ab, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing tips, your ideas, and your experiences of developing a fantastic professional career lifestyle that you've got for yourself there, with stacked learning and managing how to manage your time and avoid burnout and, you know, and leveraging technologies. And for today, well, that's a wrap for this episode. Thank you to our listeners for listening. Please share your comments and thoughts with us, tagging me and using the hashtag #WaterAndAir. And if this is your first time listening in, I recommend that you have a listen to our previous episodes to access the ordinary tips to unlock extraordinary with zero budget. And subscribe to stay up to date with future episodes. Thank you for being part of the Water and Air community. Make sure you never miss an episode release by subscribing and reviewing the podcast below. Also, leave your questions in the comments box and we'll try to answer them in future episodes. For the latest on performance optimization for lawyers, you can visit fuelandmove.com. We are so looking forward to you joining us next time.